To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray, to be used of God to show someone the way. I long so much to feel His touch, of His consuming fire, to be used of God. Oh, that's the desire, that's the prayer, that's deep within of us, within each of us, there is that wanting. God, use me. Oh, God, use my life. Lord, I would be of service to You. I would want to do, Lord, those things that will please Thee. Oh, God, call me for some special task. For some special ministry, Lord, I'm Yours. Use me, God. Deep within us, there is this desire that God would use our lives. But whenever we start thinking about God using us, immediately there comes into our minds a false concept. Because we usually think, oh, God won't use me because He only uses talented people. God only uses those who have, you know, that wit and that talent and that capacity. Not so. It's usually the talented people that God bypasses. And He calls that person who has just been serving, usually in a place of insignificance, obscurity, places His hand upon their life and begins to use them in a mighty way. Now in Joshua chapter 1, we find the story of God calling Joshua into a fantastic place of service. Moses had been mightily used by God. He had been a chosen vessel that God used to lead the children of Israel out of their captivity. His place is unique and singular in the history of the children of Israel, yea, even in the history of the world. That Mosaic code of law that God gave to him is still used as the standard of law throughout the world. One of the greatest leaders that God ever raised up was the man Moses. But now Moses has gone up into Mount Nebo. And there from Pisgah's lofty height, he has looked over the land that God had promised to give unto the children of Israel. But because of his failure to sanctify God from in front of the people or before the children of Israel, he cannot enter in. And there he dies, and there God buries him. And now the need for a new leader. The need for a new servant. One that will now take over and will do what Moses could not do. One that will lead them into that promise. One that will take them through the battles and the struggles of the years to come, and will bring them into the full inheritance of God's blessings. And so God chooses a man by the name of Joshua for this tremendous privilege. Oh, that God would call me and use me for some specific task of service for His glory. But look at the man Joshua, and in him we will find certain qualifications that are necessary qualifications for any man who would be used of God for a special service. You want God to use your life? These are some of the required qualifications. First of all, Joshua was a man who was faithful in the little things. In verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister." The word minister actually means servant. Jesus said, "He that would be the minister among you, let him be the servant of all." Joshua had been serving Moses and attending the needs of Moses in the little things. Joshua was a faithful servant to Moses. There were others who were serving, but they sought to rise up against Moses. Korah came with his sons and said, "Oh, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. We have as much right to lead as you do." And Korah was gainsaying against the leadership of Moses. And God discovered him and dealt with him. We find that others, Aaron even, and Miriam had complained against Moses. But Joshua was there as a faithful servant, serving faithfully Moses. Moses' minister, the one who was ministering to him. We remember that when Eldad and Medad received the Holy Spirit in the camp and were prophesying in the camp, they did not come into the tabernacle. And the word came to Moses, "There are two men out in the camp prophesying, and they have not come in with us." It was Joshua who said, "Oh, my Lord Moses, would you that I go out and stop them?" And Moses said, "Oh, you're jealous for my sake." He was a faithful servant to Moses. He was willing to play second fiddle. He was willing to be obscure and in the background just to be there as Moses' servant, serving in obscurity, not really looking for a position or a place of his own, but only willing to complement that one that God had anointed for the ministry. Most people are actually too big for God to use. They're too full of their own schemes. They have their own ideas of how they ought to do it. They're just too important. They're too big to be used by God. And God has to set them aside and choose someone who has been faithful in the small things, someone who has been faithful in the little tasks. Joshua was actually a long time in training. If Josephus is correct, Joshua lived for 40 years in bondage in Egypt and was 40 years old when he crossed the Red Sea with Moses. And then Joshua was one of those 12 spies that went into the land, and he brought back a good report. Joshua was one of those who fought against the Amalekites and won the victory. Joshua was there through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and now after 80 years, of faithfully serving the Lord in obscurity, in an insignificant place, now God calls upon Joshua to step out and assume a position of leadership. Who can really know what God is preparing you for? These experiences that you're going through, these things that seem to be so insignificant within your life. What do you know? How can you know? And who really knows what God is preparing your life for? What ministry, what place God is going to call you to fulfill? We often complain over our present place of service. We think that we are capable of bigger things and of greater things for God. But oh, if we will be faithful in the little things, as Jesus said, "Thou hast been faithful in the small things, now I will make thee ruler over the big things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." We need to be diligent in those small places of service that God has called us to fulfill. For this time of training that God is taking us through is essential. Actually, we must learn to serve before we can reign. We must descend if we are going to ascend. God's will is never revealed first in the big things, but it is first revealed in the small task of life. But if we will hold them sacred and do them unto the Lord and perform them faithfully as a service unto God, be faithful in the little things, we find that God is just preparing us, is training us for that calling that He will place upon our lives. Certainly Jesus is an excellent example to us of one who was willing to just be obscure and to stay in obscurity. And for 30 years, Jesus was just there in the city of Nazareth as a carpenter in his father's shop. And I'm convinced that there was no shoddy work that came out of that shop when he was there. I'm certain that everything that he turned out was excellent, was perfect. It was done right. That he did it with diligence and with faithfulness. Yes, I'm convinced that every Sabbath he went to church and there worshiped faithfully every Sabbath day, even though the church was as dead as could possibly be, yet he was faithful. And one day, after 30 years of total obscurity, he came to the River Jordan where John was baptizing. And when he was baptized by John, it said the heavens were open and the Spirit of God descended on him as a dove. And the voice of God spake from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Father was well pleased with his being willing to be obscure and to be nothing for 30 years. The Father was well pleased with the fact that he was faithful in what we would look at as non-consequential task. Task of no importance. A carpenter, no less. But he was faithful in those things, and the Father was pleased, well pleased in his faithfulness in those years of obscurity. And then came the 3 years that revolutionized the world and changed the destinies of men. The glorious service in the open unto God. But it was preceded by 30 years of obscurity. If I want God to use my life, I must be willing to be faithful to God in those present duties in which I am engaged. Not to gripe and complain over what I have to do. I'm capable of greater things than dishes, you know. Certainly my capacities are larger than making beds, washing clothes. But if we will be faithful in those little insignificant daily chores that God has laid upon us, if we will serve faithfully, doing it as unto the Lord, we will discover that God will one day open the door of greater opportunity and greater service to us. Now, the second requirement to be used of God and the second qualification is that we must have a distinct call from God. God said to Moses, or said to Joshua, verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that your sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And so he had a very definite and a distinct call from God. Joshua knew the perils that were ahead. There was great warfare. There was great conflict ahead, and he knew the perils that lay ahead. But when he was assured of the call of God, and any man who is sure of the call of God upon his life is invincible. I don't care if there are lions in the street. If God has called me to go out, I'll go out and face the lions. Because I know if God has called me, he will also enable me to do that which he has called me to do. You tell me there are giants in the land. If God has called me to go in and conquer them, I'll go, because I know the calling of God is upon my life. And if I really feel the calling, nothing can stop me. I become invincible. But the problem is, many people are entering into fields of ministry and service without that consciousness of the divine call upon their life. And so as soon as they begin to face some hardship, as soon as they begin to see the difficulties, they say, well, I really didn't think I wanted to do this anyhow, you know. And they back away. Why? Because there isn't that sense of a divine call upon their life. I need to have that consciousness and that sense that God has called me to this thing. And when I have that awareness that it is God's calling for me to do it, then nothing can stop me from doing it, because God's callings are God's enablings. That which he has called you to do, he will enable you to do. And so the supreme question for your fulfilling any office or place of service for God, the supreme question is not, are you qualified? But the supreme question is, are you called? Has God called you? Do you feel that call of God upon your heart? There are many people that are just seeking a place of prominence and power. And if that should be your desire, I just want to have a place of prominence where everyone will see me, then before God, repent. And get right with God. We remember Simon came to Peter and said, how much would it cost me that I could have this power, that whoever I laid my hands on, they would receive the Spirit also? And Peter said, thy money perish with thee. Repent, for I perceive that you're in the gall and bitterness of heart and so forth. And Peter looked down and saw within, and he called the man to repentance, just looking for a place of position and prominence and power. But we need men today who are broken in spirit, whose only desire is to serve for the glory of God. And because they're seeking the glory of God, if that place of service is not recognized or noticed by man, they could care less. They are not serving man, but they are serving God. If that place of service is pleasing or popular with man, it doesn't make any difference, because they're not serving man, they're serving God. If that place of service brings rebuke and reproach from man, it doesn't stop them, because they're not serving man, they're serving God. If God will give us humble men, broken in spirit, but deeply conscious and aware of the call of God upon their heart, though there be rivers in front of us, God will part the rivers for us. Though there be high-walled cities, God will shake down the walls. Though there be giants in the land, God will drive out the giants before us. And we will go in and we will conquer because the Lord our God is with us and He has called us. The calling of God is essential. I must be conscious of the calling of God upon my life. Jesus Christ was certain of His call. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Another place He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish His work. And in another place He said, I delight to do Thy will, O God. He was aware that God had called him to this place. The third qualification that we find here in Joshua chapter 1 of a man called for service unto God. The third qualification is that he must be a man indwelt by the Word of God. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Word of God was to be there constantly, day and night. He was to meditate in it. He was to observe it. He was to keep it. There are no shortcuts to holiness. We want to jump immediately into a place of service and prominence, but God needs to prepare us. And we need to be thoroughly furnished in the Word of God. And we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And it's only as we study that we can be approved of God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if I would be used by God, if I would be a servant in God's hand, then I must be thoroughly filled with the knowledge of the word of God, and I must meditate in it day and night, and I must be thoroughly saturated by the word of God. And in those times of meditation and alone with God and with His Word, there is where I will find my effectiveness in my ministry. For no leader is more effective than when he is in that place of secret prayer on his knees before God. More is accomplished behind the closed closet door than out in the open. More victories won in the closet than on the battlefield. It's waiting upon God in that quiet place, praying, waiting in His Word until He gives us the assurance of His Word and the victory in prayer, and then we go out in service, and that's just taking the spoils. The battle has already been won. I must be thoroughly furnished in the Word of God, filled with the knowledge of the Word if I would be used by God. Certainly Jesus Christ manifested a rich knowledge of the Word of God. He used it to prove His arguments. He used it to stave off the temptations of Satan. He used it to guide the conduct of His life. And He also used it to illustrate the truth. The Word of God dwelling in us richly, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you desire God to use your life? Do you want your life to be used by God? Do you desire a place of service? Number one, be faithful right where you are. Do those little things that God lays before you. Fulfill those things that come across your path daily and do them diligently as unto the Lord and not as man pleasers, but do them as unto the Lord. Take advantage of every opportunity of filling your heart and your mind with the Word of God. Study it. Meditate upon it. Start memorizing the Scriptures. Lay them up in your heart, in your memory, and store them there. And saturate your life with the Word of God. Be faithful. Be faithful in just the little things. And then, one day, there will a need arise. Things will just seem to be falling in a certain pattern. And you'll see a need that is there, and all of a sudden you'll feel a hand upon your shoulder, and you'll hear the voice of God saying unto you, "This is it. Step in. Take over." And you'll say, "Oh Lord, no, not me." And he'll say, "Be not afraid." Why will he say, "Be not afraid"? Because you'll be scared to death. You'll all of a sudden feel your own inadequacies as you've felt all along. But now as you see the task before you, they'll seem all the greater. "Oh Lord, I'm not sufficient. And who is sufficient for these things?" You'll say, "Be of good courage." Why? Because you'll be terrified. You'll want to run. You'll want to be going the other direction. You'll say, "Be not dismayed." Why? Because you just really won't know where to go or how to go or what to do. "Here I am. What am I doing here?" "Don't be dismayed." The Lord said, "I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest." Yes, you be faithful in those little things. You prepare yourself with the knowledge of the Word of God. And God's calling one day will come to you, and God will lay his hand upon your life, and God will show you that ministry for which he has been preparing you these long days and weeks and months and yea, even years. God is preparing his people for their place of ministry. I don't know what God is preparing you for. But I know that if you're open to the Spirit and sensitive to the Spirit, that he is preparing you. And he will use you because he wants to use every one of you. And he has a task that no one else can fill but you. And there will come that day when it will be revealed and the call of God will come to you. And in that day, it will be yours to respond to that call of God and to go forth not in your own might or in your own strength or in your own power, but in the power of the Spirit of God that will enable you to fulfill that calling. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season you shall reap if you faint not. Despise not the days of small things. Despise not the days of preparation, but be thou faithful in the little things, and he will make thee ruler over many things. And someday you'll hear him say, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, for thou hast been faithful. Thou hast been found faithful." If I cannot be faithful in the little things, then God cannot entrust to me the greater things. He comes along, he tests, he tries, he proves in the small tasks how diligent, how faithful I am in performing them will determine also how diligent and faithful I am in performing those greater things that he desires that I do. To be used of God, oh yes, that's my desire. to speak, to sing, to pray, to show someone the way, to be of service to God, that my life might count for something eternal. Oh God, use me. And He wants to be faithful. The call will come. And the pattern will have been established that will enable you to step right in. And though you are fearful, you will not fear. Because He will be there. And He will help you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for the privilege of serving Thee. We know that the servant of God must be thoroughly furnished in every good work, and so help us, Lord, that our lives might be thoroughly prepared by Thy Holy Spirit to fulfill that place of ministry and service that You have called upon us to fulfill. Use us, Lord, in faithful service to Thee, in whatever capacity or field or place of work, Lord, may we be faithful there. May we do it as unto Thee. Hallow each hour of each day, Lord. As our whole life is dedicated to You, and even the ordinary routine, mundane things that cross our path, may we do them as unto the Lord. And now, Father, we leave the place of worship, that we might enter into the place of service, that we might be used of Thee this day as instruments of righteousness, that Your hand shall be upon our lives, and that Your Spirit shall anoint us, and that we shall bring praise and glory to Thy name through our faithfulness, the callings. Lord, we pray that we might be used of Thee, that our lives might bring glory unto Thy name, that we might be called upon for some task or service unto Thee, dear Lord, where Christ can be glorified. For we ask it in His name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. If you would like further information on any of our products or to receive our free catalog, contact The Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD. 272-W-O-R-D.